Chapter 21. "Bongo," I said early that morning as the last stars faded like weary fireflies, "there's something I need you to do."
"Does it involve potato chips?"
Bongo mumbled.
"No."
"Then I'd rather sleep. It's about summer. You promised you'd let me sleep in."
"I didn't promise." "You implied."
"I want to grant summer's wish." This roused Bongo. She fluttered down to her favorite branch, the one she nicknamed home plate. Bongo likes to watch the kids play softball at the elementary school.
Red, you don't make wishes happen. You're the place where wishes go. You're
like a leafy garbage can, in a good way. For 216 rings, I've sat on my roots and listened to people hope for things. And a lot of times those wishes never happened, I'm guessing. Bongo tucked a feather into place. Sometimes that's for the best. Remember that kindergartner who wanted a bulldozer?
"I'm passive. I just sit here watching the world."
"You're a tree, Red. That's kind of the job description."
"This is a good wish, and it's a wish I can make happen."
I paused. "Well, we can make happen."
"Yeah, I had a feeling that's where this was going." Bongo glided to the ground.
"Look, I heard Summer's wish. How exactly are you going to find her a friend?"
"You'll see," I said, hoping I sounded more confident than I felt.
"Red," Bongo paced back and forth. With each step, her head bobbed forward. "We've got more serious issues, pal. Francesca's talking about turning you into toothpicks, and your residents are frantic about where they're going to move if that happens." She came close and nudged me fondly.
"Of course they're worried about you, too."
"I know that." Fresh-baked Bread poked her head out from under the porch. It was barely dawn, and only the white stripe running the length of her face was clearly visible.
"I've offered to take in one of the tree families temporarily," she announced, "preferably the opossums. They're better behaved than the ewes."
"That's very generous of you, Fresh," I said.
But I was interrupted by Big Ewe, the mother of the three raccoon babies. She was in my large hollow, grumbling under her breath.
"I beg your pardon," she exclaimed. You and you have excellent manners."
"They're too inquisitive," said Fresh Baked Bread, "always poking their noses where they shouldn't be, grabbing things with those little paws of theirs."
"Well, at least they don't stink," Big Ewe cried, "and your children have paws last time I checked."
Hairy Spiders, the mother opossum, peeked out cautiously from her own hollow.
Opossums name themselves after things they fear. "Stink is in the nose of the beholder," said Hairy Spiders. "And while I personally think your children have a delightful odor, Fresh, I've already got dibs on the wood pile 2 doors down. Should anything happen to dear Red." She patted me. "No offense, love. Just thinking ahead, you know."
"No offense taken," I assured her.
Excuse the interruption. Teacher's just
"No offense, love. Just thinking ahead, you know."
"No offense taken," I assured her. "I saw that pile first," Big Ewe cried.
"Share the skunk den," Hairy Spider said.
"I wouldn't be caught dead in that place," Big Ewe exclaimed. "Not now. Now that I know my inquisitive children aren't wanted."
"Well, they are a bit boisterous," said Hairy Spiders.
"At least my children have spunk," said Big Ewe. "Your kids faint when they see their own shadows."
"Playing possum is a useful adaptation," said Hairy Spiders, her pink nose twitching.
"The world is a dangerous place, and in any case, we can't control it. It just happens."
"If I may interrupt," came a cool voice from my highest branches. It was Agnes.
"There's a nice-looking linden tree 2 blocks away, just vacated by a gray squirrel family. We're looking at it as a possibility, but there's a tomcat that runs loose there.
Collar, no bell, so that's an issue. Also a big slobbery dog."
"In all fairness, all dogs are slobbery," Bongo observed.
"I think you should all calm down," I interrupted. "Let's not buy trouble. One day at a time, my friends, who knows what tomorrow may bring."
The mothers glared at me. I heard a great deal of sighing. "Too much wise old tree?" I asked.
"Too much wise old tree," Bongo confirmed as everyone retreated into their homes in a huff.
"They're all a bit tense," Bongo said. "Worried about your situation."
"I can see that."
"I'm worried too," Bongo said in an almost whisper.
"I know," I said gently, "but every cloud has a silver..."
"Red," Bongo interrupted.
"Sorry."
"There must be something I can do," Bongo said. "You're a good friend, Bongo, but sometimes all I can do is stand tall and reach deep."
"Red!"
"Sorry," I said again.
"What will I do without you, Red?" Bongo said softly. "You'll be fine, my friend, I promise." We both fell quiet. At last, Bongo shook herself, feathers fluffing. In any case, maybe not the best time to be granting wishes, is my point. "Seems to me this is exactly the right time," I replied. Bongo groaned, her little old man groaned. She knew I wasn't looking, backing back down. And with that, we began to plan.